Welcome to the BPD Bunch. I'm your host, Zanny, and today I am here with my bestie, Rebecca, Madurama and Choi, Jay and Georgia, and Katya and Kay. Where in the world is everyone coming from?
Choi and I are coming from Kolkata in India.
Georgia and I are both coming from Canada. Georgia from Toronto, me from Calgary.
Me and Kay are coming from West Midlands in the United Kingdom.
I'm coming from New Mexico, and Rebecca is here from New York. And Rebecca's name you may recognize from the credits. She is normally on the other side of the camera helping us with producing the show, but today she's here in front of the camera. I'm so excited about this episode. The topic of BPD in relationships is always a hot one, but in this context, we are talking about BPD in friendships, specifically BFF relationships. If this and other BPD-related topics interest you, do make sure to like, subscribe, and turn on your notifications so that you do not miss a single update. And with that, let's just do a quick recap of how you met and how long you've been friends.
Choi and I, we met in college back in 2017 when we got together in the same medical school. And it was right after we graduated high school. So in a really formative part of our life. And we've been friends ever since. So it'll be 7 years this year.
Georgia and I met at the University of Toronto during my master's degree back in 2019. And we've been friends ever since.
Kay, did you want to explain our backstory a little bit?
Yeah, so we met in year six maths, which in the UK is what we call primary school. So we were very young. I was just minding my own business. And then this weird person got sat next to me and I was like, oh, you're weird, which is good because I'm weird. And then we just kind of like united in our quirks and ways, really. And later on during life, we did kind of drift away, like mostly for like boring adult reasons. But we eventually came back. It was like no time had passed, so although we'd had a bit of time where we hadn't really like interacted as much, we were still very much best of friends. So yeah, that's us.
Rebecca, do you want to tell the thought I was a guy story?
Oh yeah, that so we met in sixth grade where I met one of your friends first, and she kept saying we'll see Zanny later, and I just assumed Zanny was a dude. I don't know. I guess it sounds like a man's name. I was also 10. And then so when I saw Zanny, I was like, that can't be him.
And then I don't really know what happened after that. It was just we became friends and then decided we were best friends and we would be best friends until the day we died. So
yes,
that's how that went.
It's a big commitment to make when you're 11 years old that this is your best friend forever. But so far, so good.
Yeah. At what point in your friendship did BPD come up in terms of like finding out about the diagnosis? Like, how did that come about?
It was back in 2019 when Madhurima got her diagnosis. And I remember we were standing outside the tuition class and I was the first person she told. And basically at that point of time, none of us had idea about it, and we were scared, and I did not know what to tell her. And yeah, that's how it came up. And another funny thing is, even I got diagnosed with BPD just a few months back. And well, I just knew the person to call right after that, and she was not surprised the least.
That was such a stark difference between how we reacted to my diagnosis and how we reacted to her diagnosis, because I remember back in 2019, I was telling her that I have borderline personality disorder, and we were both staring at each other like as if we're supposed to know what it means, but we have no idea what it means.
Yeah.
And she says, okay, so when you learn more about it, you can come and tell me. And like, obviously in the past years, we have like grown up together. And when she disclosed that she also got it, I was like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that's why we resonated so much and had so much of similar reactions to the same problem.
So I think for us, it was really interesting because Jay and I had just become friends and he had gotten his diagnosis a little bit later, but had started to express feeling a little bit off, feeling different than he used to. So I think BPD came up pretty quickly after we got close. And it was interesting because I didn't really know anything about it. Jay didn't know a whole lot about it either. So we were kind of learning about it at the same time and also figuring out what works for him, what works for me. And I think Jay is great because he is so communicative and we kind of just grew together in this. So I think it was just a really good experience for both of us to work through and it made us a lot closer.
Yeah, it's interesting because we both have a diagnosis of borderline personality disorder, but it wasn't something that we necessarily spoke about early on. I'll actually hold my hands up and admit, like, I was really elusive about my diagnosis. So I can't actually remember how many years I had it before I was open about it. But yeah, that was a big thing for our relationship.
I think it's quite interesting because I got my diagnosis in 2021 and I spent quite a long time not really knowing how to approach the subject. And I remember that I think I either messaged you or I put it on social media that I got this diagnosis. And you told me that you got it. And bearing in mind the amount of time that had passed since your diagnosis to that point, I actually had like no idea that you got BPD because, you know, like to the unsuspecting person, you don't really show any symptoms of it. And I remember being like, wow, like this is just so strange that we've ended up with the same diagnosis and yet we're totally different people. And we just never spoke about it.
Yeah, I got my diagnosis in 2015, so that's a good 6 years that I didn't casually drop it into conversation. But honestly, I was so relieved when you did say that that's what you got because it really started me on a journey of self-acceptance.
I actually don't remember when it first came up in like conversation, do you?
Mm-mm. I can't remember when you told me. I know what we were talking about recently was that what I remember from our like high school time when you got your diagnosis was the eating disorder stuff. So Zanny went into a program during school, so was gone for like a few months. That was what really colored my high school experience with you. There were definitely some times where looking back on it, I can say I think that our friendship was being impacted by your BPD, but it certainly didn't register at the time.
Yeah. Well, it made me a good opportunity for us to just move on to the next part of this, which is what are some of the struggles that you've had in your friendship, like how BPD has shown up. I think for us, it was definitely... So just for full disclosure, I had the hots for Rebecca when we were in high school. I wasn't conscious of it. She was like my favorite person, kind of. And that manifested in a really kind of controlling, dysfunctional way where I was always super critical of the people that she dated. And if they did something wrong, I would like threaten to kill them. It was quite a time.
What I remember is getting into a full on like high school TV movie level girl fight in the hallway before homeroom. I think it was in 11th grade, but there was like hair pulling. It was very, so that was what I remember about that is that you were really mad that I was just dating someone. You were like, how dare you date a guy? Sorry.
Yeah. It actually wasn't until a while later when her mom, when I came out as bi to her mom and she was like, oh yeah, you've been in love with Rebecca for years. And I was like, really? Oh, that makes so much sense now.
Do you think that that was just like, you know, high school girl confusion? Or do you think that was impacted by your BPD or your like your difficulty with determining your emotions?
At the time, what was challenging is that the only representation I had ever seen of a woman who was romantically interested in other women was someone who was buff, short hair, wearing flannel all the time. And because I didn't really relate to that aesthetic, I just thought, oh, well, this can't be me. And I think also the intensity of my emotions in general, you know, I got really attached to you. And I put you in this position where it was like, if you weren't looking at me, I kind of felt like I didn't know who I was. And so when you were putting your attention on all these guys that you were dating, that was really hard for me because I was just like, when you weren't looking at me, it was like, who am I? I don't know. I don't exist. I'm just a puddle of clay that doesn't have any shape at all. I'm glad that that's like well in the past. I mean, I didn't even really realize how I had felt until after it was mostly already gone. So it was like, it was just sort of weird to recognize it in hindsight.
I think that for Georgia and I, we haven't had a lot of challenges with each other, but some of the things that have come up for us have mainly been related to the moment that we became friends, which was a very difficult moment for me, but also in terms of just like our academic lives, there's a lot going on. And I think the thing that was the most noticeable for me was because I was going through crisis at that time, very often, I started to notice that people would kind of position Georgia and I as like one and the same. So instead of asking me how I am, they would ask her how I am, or vice versa. And in some ways, when you hear that, it will probably make you think like, oh, it's not like too bad or whatever. But I think at the time we were investing so much in each other that, so, you know, sometimes, and Georgia more so in me, because at that moment I was, you know, not doing so well. I think it was like, gosh, can we just be seen for us for 5 minutes, and can you ask me about me? Can you ask me about my interests, my studies, my work, you know? And on the flip side, for me, I think it was kind of like, I would benefit from knowing that those people cared. So could you come up to me and ask me, talk to me?
Yeah, so, you know, we were both like in this new environment, and I was still kind of shy in my early 20s. So I wanted to get to know people and have them ask me about myself, you know? So some challenges were, you know, I was supporting Jay. Jay and I were getting closer and I spent a lot of time with him. So, you know, on the surface, you could think, well, if people are asking me about Jay, then like they care about Jay and then they know that we're close. So they are, you know, showing they care. But I think at times it felt like they just didn't really dissociate the two of us and think of us as different people. So trying to come into my own as an adult, it was hard, because then it was just like we were one and the same, like Jay said. But I think that over time, we've both learned what works for us. And I see so much growth in Jay as well. So like we've communicated over the years and just gotten better at knowing what the other person needs. And I think it's really, it's interesting because Jay knows me quite well and knows that sometimes I don't really advocate for what I need or what, you know, I think I'm a little scared to maybe upset someone. And, you know, you can imagine if you have a best friend with BPD, maybe you don't want to tell them, hey, like I need time alone, or, you know, you might be a little nervous because you don't want them to feel like you're potentially abandoning them or anything. So, but Jay's been really great because he kind of anticipates that. And he's like, if you need a night to yourself, if you need some time, like, just tell me. And, you know, I know you're not going anywhere because I know the kind of friendship we have. So, you know, it's okay to take that time.
I think we had more or less less dramatic friendship than all of my previous friendships or relationships, which ended up ending in a horrifying way because of all the ways my BPD showed up. But so this is one friendship that I was always very precious to me. So I did not want to, like, you know, do anything or say anything that would potentially lead me to lose her as a friend. And there was one point in our lives when we got in internship where we kind of drifted apart because we were posted in different departments, and we could not spend much time, I mean, as much as time we used to spend in college. And since, I mean, I am a kind of person who can be very easily swept off by nice and shiny things and then later regret that, why did I do that? Because all that glitters, it's not gold and etc. So when I got an internship and I met some new people who were not necessarily very good people, but they were having fun and it looked like they were having the time of their lives. And I was so invested in making new friendships and making new connections and enjoying life that I kind of left our friendship behind. And well, how did it make you feel? You would say that better.
So I felt really left out. I felt isolated and I felt sad. And I thought, okay, probably this is over. But at the same time, I never tried to communicate it. I lost a lot of friends during that time. And so I was really alone in the entire 1 year of internship. So towards the end part of that, basically, I also started to enjoy life like she did. By that time, she had grown apart from all those people. And now again, there was a difference, but now the roles had reversed. And I remember we were posted at that time in OBGYN, and I had a 12-hour duty of labor room. And I was very tired and very exhausted. I have not seen my friends for a long time. And then I met her. She was doing some work. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so excited to meet you. Can you please give me a hug? And the expression she gave at that point of time, it made me feel like, okay, this is a crime I have committed and I should be punished and banished to hell. I again drifted away and I was like, okay, no, this is not going to work. And we were both very bad at communicating our needs, at expressing that, yeah, this is something that we value. I think that is one of the rocky phases of our friendship. We actually practically did not do anything active to get over that phase, but I guess it was just we just gave each other some time and some space and continued on our own healing processes. And yeah, and then finally I'm glad that phase is over, because I don't know what I'd do with her without her. Yeah
me neither.
I think for me and Kay, one of the biggest challenges that we have is that we do struggle with the same things, and that's what causes us difficulty. So I think it's probably fair to say that we struggle with impulsivity and risky behaviors, and although that doesn't necessarily manifest in illegal behaviors, it does manifest in terms of like silly behavior, sort of quite immature behavior. And I think the problem with that is that we egg each other on. So if I want to do something that I suspect deep down is probably not a very good idea, rather than going to somebody who will say, okay, have you thought about X, Y, and Z, I will go to Kay, who will go, yeah, that's a great idea, because that's what I want to hear. And that's not necessarily a positive. And I think it has culminated in quite a few situations in the past where we have done things that are quite silly and not very well thought through, that might have been fun at the time, but actually in hindsight, we could have planned it a little bit better. So we do have lots of stories about all of the fun things that we've done. But then it's also created this sense of Peter Pan syndrome in some ways. And I do find that when we are physically together, it is like we're 14 or 15 years old and we've never grown up. And although that's fun and quite nostalgic for us, I can imagine for the people around us, it can become quite annoying in a way.
Wait, I have a question. What's Pizza Pan?
I heard pizza pants.
Oh, yeah, no, Peter Pan syndrome.
Yeah, Peter Pan. So it's where you just never really grow up and you're perpetually immature and childlike.
I thought you said pizza. And I was like, what are you talking about?
I do actually prefer
Peter,
that.
I totally get it now.
So is this where the her story comes in?
This is definitely the point at which the her story comes out. People always say that it's difficult to have good relationships with people when you have BPD, but we, in the whole time that we've been friends, we've never once fallen out, and we're 36 now, so I think that's pretty good going. But yeah, the challenge of it is that we are just a really bad influence on people, on each other. So one of the things that will probably make this make sense is that as we were growing up, we were into rock and metal music. So I've spent my fair time kind of rocking like the gothic phase, you know, painting my face white, black lipstick, all of that. And in our final year of high school, it was coming up to prom season. Already decided, yeah, I'm going to rock up in a gothic dress, going to, you know, and as we were kind of getting closer to it, there was these little rumours about, oh, we're going to make everyone wear pink ball gowns. And you could imagine my response to that. I was just kind of like, nope. And it culminated in me having this thought about, you know, whilst everyone else is like booking limos and fancy cars, let's go in a hearse. And at no point did was there a point where it's like, ah, this isn't going to be a good idea. We just like egged each other on. And eventually our head of year kind of pulled us aside and was like, yeah, you can't do this. You can't come in a hearse to your prom. It's not the only occasion either that I can think of. Like, we do have so many stories. At one point, I just disappeared from my life for 2 weeks, staying on Katya's sofa, like, and at no point was there ever a conversation about, do you think you should go back to your life now? Do you think you should check in with your partner and your family? You know, do you think it's not a bad thing that you've skipped university for 2 weeks? We just accepted that that's the way it was. Like, I was there sleeping on the sofa, getting up to all sorts of mischief. And yeah, we just egged each other on in ways, you know, now that we've older and got more responsibilities, it's, yeah, have to rein it in a little bit more.
You know, one of the things that I think is interesting is I've been thinking about, as everyone's talking, some of the ways in which I think BPD has really harmed my friendship with Rebecca has been in the times when I was just so, especially after I moved on from her as my favorite person, I had other favorite people, I became really consumed by those relationships. And if I talked to Rebecca at all, it would be about my favorite person relationships. I didn't really ask her about her own life or what was going on. I think there were a couple times she had to like stand up and say, hey, I want you to actually ask me about my life.
Yeah, I think for me, that was actually way harder. And I'm sure that there were struggles when like you had a crush on me in high school. Maybe it's just hard for me to remember that. But I definitely remember with your, I guess it would be like your college girlfriend, and it was like you were a totally different person, and that was when you were really dealing with a lot of the BPD symptoms. There's this one time that you changed your plane ticket at the last minute so you could go see them, and I was like, what are you doing, you know? But you didn't listen when I said, this seems pretty extreme for someone you just started dating. It was, I think you got frustrated with me, actually, that I wasn't being supportive.
Well, yeah, I mean, I did a lot of crazy. I didn't go back to school because of that relationship. I was on like break, and I was like, I'm gonna like, stay out of school and to try to continue to pursue this relationship. It was a little bananas. So, but yeah, I wanted Rebecca to think that I was making great choices, and when she said no, I was like, okay, well, screw you.
I wonder.
How dare you look out for me?
I think we're the opposite of Kay and Katya, who are always egging each other on and taking each other to new heights. We're the total opposite. I'm the wet blanket, right? You're like, yeah, let's not. Let's go to school and study. That was very much my feedback.
I mean, now that I hear Zanny talk about the whole favorite person thing, I'm also so sorry, Shoy, that you had to go through all of that. Because in hindsight, I realized how much of an absent friend I had been. I definitely couldn't have done it without you by my side. It was like the worst phase of my life.
You know, whatever you said during those times, the idealization and then feeling left out and everything during that phase, I think I had at that point of time had not felt something like that, but I could really understand where you were coming from. And the hard part was not that you were not the best friend to me at that point of time in my needs, but the worst part was seeing you go through that because I deeply care for you, and seeing you completely throw yourself into shackles and everything, it just hurt me very, very deeply. And I just wanted to hold you and shake you and just say that you are so much more worthy than you think. And please stop doing this to yourself. You deserve so much better. And I think I have done this also. But having said that, you were not in the state to believe me. But you used to say, I remember that I once sent you an Instagram reel where it said that, you know, you're a nice person. I deeply care for you. You make my day. And you were like, you know, this will help me live for another day. I'm just happy that now you are so much better. And I'm so glad the way you have conducted yourself. So, yeah, it's okay. There's nothing to be sorry about.
I was just thinking when Georgia and I became friends, as I said, I was in crisis a lot. And it was these crises that led to my BPD diagnosis around like January of 2020. And I remember being very conscious about trying to make sure that I still asked Georgia about her life and stuff like that, even when it was difficult at times, because these crises were quite consuming. Like they were, as I'm sure Georgia can attest, relatively constant. And when I say constant, I mean ending up in hospital almost on like a weekly or bi-weekly basis. So it was pretty chaotic. But I think that there was one moment, maybe when I was hospitalized around, was it February time, Georgia, 2020, I think, like Valentine's sort of time, right? Oh, the irony. Where, I don't know, maybe you want to say that, Georgia?
I think it actually was on Valentine's Day, and I got a message from Jay that he was in the hospital, and I went to go see him. I had been to visit him before in other periods, but this one was more serious. And it was hard for me to see him that way. So it was quite heavy on me, but I wanted to support him. I wanted to be there for him. And he said, you know, if this is ever a little too much for you, just tell me, it's okay. You know, he was very clear that he wouldn't react badly to it. And I just remember leaving the hospital that day, and it was challenging for sure. I got home and I like had to decompress. It was a lot to take in, and I was relieved that he was okay in the end. But I think like the toll that took, seeing him that way and then like what he had gone through, I remember I just got into bed and I just like listened to some music, and I was like, yeah, I think I need a little bit of time. But he created that space for me to be able to say that. And after I took my time, we just resumed where we left off. So I think that was a really important moment for a friendship, because it showed me that I can be honest with him when something's too much, and that I show him that I come back when, you know, I take my time and process and when I'm ready.
I think that's really admirable, and totally different from how I used to be. I mean, when I was really symptomatic, if Rebecca had said to me, like, I don't, you know, like, I need space, I would have flipped out. I would not have been able to recognize that. So I'm amazed and I'm so impressed that you had the sort of the awareness to be able to do that for your friend, because I definitely couldn't have done that.
I could see it on Georgia's face when she was in the room. You know, she was very emotional, and it made her cry. The state that I was in, and seeing it on her face, it made me realize that for other people, it's a lot. I don't know why I was able to do that in those moments, but I think it just goes against the trope of BPD, right? Which is that you're unempathetic and you don't give an F and whatever. And I'm sure that there are situations that I can think of where I have been like that. But I think part of how I was able to leverage that and be like that is because I cared so deeply about the other person and the relationship, that I recognized that, you know, I think if I wasn't doing that and these things just went on and on and on, I don't know if we would have been able to stay friends, and it, because it may have just got too much if I wasn't being like that, you know?
And I think our friendship came at a time where maybe there had been challenges with others where it was maybe harder to strike that balance. And I think Jay had learned from those experiences and waited for the right person to, you know, to practice those new skills with. So I'm grateful that our timeline fell, you know, as it did.
All right. So the last question, what are some skills that you use to maintain your friendship?
One of the most important skills that I have developed in my friendship with Zanny is setting firm boundaries. And I think we were talking a lot about our past selves in high school, where it was a conflict, where there was a conflict around like my romantic relationships. And for a long time, that meant that I couldn't necessarily talk about everything that was going on in my relationships. So I was really conscientious about saying, like, here's what I'm going to tell you about this, but I don't want this kind of feedback. And in our work life, we have two separate chats. We have our work chat and our friendship chat. And I think it's really good to have that boundary, because I will mute my work chat if I don't want to work right now, but that doesn't mean I don't want to talk to Zanny, and we'll schedule calls that are work only and then calls that are friendship only. And that really helps to maintain those boundaries.
Yeah, I think from my end, I try to practice mindfulness, and it's a sort of a general approach to a lot of my relationships, but because we work together and because what we work on is my project, I do try as much as possible to make sure that we're scheduling other things. We don't live in the same state. We don't get to see each other in person that often, but we do try to schedule a couple of in-person visits every year. And on a regular basis, we have a couple of shows that we will watch long distance together. So The Great British Bake Off and a horror drag show called Dragula. And I think that's been making sure that we do those sort of maintenance things.
I think for me, one of the skills that I use is a wise mind, because finding that middle ground and balance, because of the type of person I am, because I know that I'm a bad influence, I have to try and be my own voice of reason. And that's very hard for me to do, because I've just, that's the way I've always been. And I know that if I'm not asking myself the question, I can get carried away. Get people involved in all sorts of things. So I think if I were to think of one of the skills, it would be about that, and about staying curious and open. So say we've had an interaction and it's like not going the way I thought it would, just thinking about, okay, take a step back, kind of what's going on here. Like, is there something that Catch needs from me? And kind of doing that like legwork and thinking, okay, what's going on here? So really it's a way for me to always make sure that I'm being the best friend that I can be. So I think that's one of the things, but also related to what you were saying about like setting firm boundaries and stuff. I have pretty lax boundaries, so I think I'm always aware that maybe I might overstep other people's boundaries sometimes. So I think being honest and having those conversations, like I feel like I could have any difficult conversation and we'd be able to like work through it.
I think if I can just add to that in terms of boundaries as well, I always just try and be respectful. I think when I found out that Kay was diagnosed with BPD the same as me, there is that natural curiosity to kind of be like, well, what, why have you got this diagnosis? Like, how has this happened? But then also appreciating that maybe Kay doesn't want to talk about trauma or any of the things that have contributed to that, and just being mindful of the fact that even though we share the same diagnosis, not to overstep that mark in terms of what might be offensive or hurtful to that person. And I think one of the things that works really well for us as well is when one of us is discussing a problem or an issue, trying to work out whether that person wants to vent or whether they want solutions, because sometimes the temptation is to jump in and immediately start offering advice, even if it's unsolicited. And actually, what Kay wants from me maybe is just to kind of get those feelings out there and just express how she's feeling, rather than expecting me to solve all of those problems. And I think the other thing that we've spoken about before as well is the non-negotiables. So in terms of our friendship, the things that are really fundamentally important. So one of the things that we have spoken about is if things go seriously pear-shaped in the future and we lose our friendship or something happens, we have agreed that no matter what has happened, we will not go out there and talk about the things that we've shared with each other, secrets, trusted information, that kind of thing. Like, that will go to the grave with us, regardless of anything that would happen to that friendship.
For us, we discussed how boundaries were important to us. We discussed how much space we were willing to give to each other and how much access to the information of our past lives, of things that has happened. And as we grew together into this relationship, as we grew our trust, then we could actually trust each other with traumatic tales from our pasts, if that makes sense. When we are actually going through a rough patch, what is important is the communication. And even more than that, it should be communication in the right place and at the right time. Because both of us have BPD, communication when we're not ready to see each other's perspective can quickly turn into a blame game. So we actually had a conversation about this when we said that when we are having negative feelings about each other, so we just take a step back and take a pause and try to rationalize it out. And it does not matter how many days it takes. When we are ready to see both of our perspectives from a rational point of view, that is when we come and talk about it, because we do not want our relationship to be disrespectful, even if it is for a split moment or anything. So that is one thing that we are very strict on maintaining.
Our friendship grew up in a very effortless manner. And at the time we were setting boundaries with each other, we were also kind of learning the meaning of boundaries. We have also not always been great at communicating, but as soon as one realizes, apologize for it and that the person is forgiven and moved on. So I think just letting go of the negative feelings, not holding on to the grudges because of whatever have happened in the past, I think that is one of the most important tools in maintaining this friendship, especially when we are two very non-confrontational people. We do not shout at each other because we do not want to be disrespectful, at the same time not be hurtful even unintentionally, since we know the cost of getting hurt by someone who is very close. So that is the reason we do take a break whenever we have to. But yeah.
It feels difficult to talk about skills because in a way I feel like we haven't had a lot of issues in our relationship that have brought awareness to needing to be skillful in some kind of way. One of the things that I can think about though is that I think after I entered functional recovery, I had such a drive to try and be reciprocal that I think sometimes I was too solution focused when Georgia just wanted to talk. And I didn't ask before giving my two cents on some things. But as soon as it was brought up or came to my attention, I stopped doing that. And do usually now lead with, I don't know if you would like feedback or if you would just like to talk, and I accept one either way. The only other thing that I can think of for us is, obviously when we were building our friendship, we were living in the same graduate college in Toronto. But then after that, after my degree, I moved to Brazil, then back to England, then to the other side of Canada. So we've had a lot of distance between us, and distances that are kind of difficult to facilitate, even just doing a trip. Even going from Calgary to Toronto is a 4-hour flight and it's not cheap. And I think we've just had to really be quite proactive about trying to schedule times to talk, because both of us have very busy work or academic schedules. So it can be difficult to do that, but we've tried to, I think, to be very conscious of that and make the effort.
Touching on being far away from one another, it's something that we've kind of worked on maybe subconsciously, is we might not have time on a routine basis to, you know, check in with one another or to chat for a long period of time, but coming up with little solutions like, you know, we'll message each other about something that we did that was fun, or, you know, just call me when you're walking home from work or from school. Having little things that you can do that just remind one another that you're thinking about them. And it doesn't always have to be like all or nothing, like we must spend all this time together or we can't spend time together at all. So I think that's maybe a skill that we've sort of curated over the years, I guess, is just like making time for one another when we can, and just being flexible about all of that.
Does anybody have any like final thoughts or takeaways that they would like to share?
BPD can be like a complicated dynamic to work with in relationships, but so can things that fall outside of any diagnostic, right? It's just important that you listen and communicate, and also recognize that like sometimes X person may just not be your person. It doesn't mean that because they have BPD or they have something else that that's the reason, you know? And try to be mindful of that when you're navigating your friendship.
My thing was that I think as a society, we spend so much time focused on romantic relationships, and that can be true in my experience working on the show in the BPD community as well. But for so many of us, our friendships are really important, and I'm really proud of my friendship with Zanny. We've been friends since we were 10, and we're going to be friends till we're 100, right? So this is my longest lasting relationship, or hopefully will be. And that's important to me. And I think it's valuable. And I hope that everybody watching this will think about, okay, how can I put some focus onto my friendships and really strengthening them? Because that can be really rewarding.
Thank you everyone so much for watching. I hope that you got a nugget of wisdom to take with you on your journey. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and turn on your notifications so that you do not miss a single episode. On Friday, we'll be back talking about friendships where both people have BPD and friendships where only one person has BPD. So come back for that. And then Wednesday, we will return with a brand new topic. So we will see you next time.